Sleep, that elusive blessing. Last year we brought you research on kids who sleep and snore. Here's more from a PhD who's actually already published.
Now my guess is everyone listening knows someone who snores. But you may not know that apart from it being annoying to listen to, snoring can also be very bad for your health, especially your heart. You might also be shocked to learn that children snore, almost 1 million of them in Australia alone. My PhD project looks at the long-term effects of snoring on children's hearts. Cardiovascular disease kills one Australian every 12 minutes. Hypertension or high blood pressure plays a key role in the development of cardiovascular disease, and we now know there is a strong link between high blood pressure and snoring. The most severe form of snoring is known as obstructive sleep apnea, when breathing actually stops. When this happens, there is a rapid fall in oxygen levels to the brain, which is recognised as a life-threatening event. To prevent this, the brain signals the body to wake up for just a moment so normal breathing can be restored. This can happen hundreds of times a night. Sleep is supposed to be a time of rest and recuperation, and it gives our cardiovascular systems a chance to slow down and take a break. But for sleep apnea sufferers, sleep can be exhausting. Many studies show adult snorers and sleep apnea sufferers have higher blood pressure and are more likely to suffer from a heart attack or a stroke. But what about young snorers? My research group has shown primary school-age snorers also have elevated blood pressure compared to their non-snoring friends. But what we don't know is whether these children improve over time or with treatment, or whether their blood pressure ever returns to normal. My name is Anna Vlahandonis and I am currently undertaking a PhD at the Ritchie Centre, part of Monash Institute of Medical Research. My PhD's aim is to follow up primary school age snorers and sleep apnea sufferers who had elevated blood pressure when we studied them 4 years ago. These children are now teenagers, aged 11 to 16 years. I've investigated whether they are still snoring or suffering from sleep apnea 4 years later and if any treatment has helped. The most common cause of childhood sleep apnea is big tonsils and adenoids. These can block the airway during sleep when it's relaxed and floppy, and as a result causes a prolonged pause in breathing. Therefore, the most common treatment for children is surgery to remove them. But these days, surgical treatment is mostly reserved for those with more severe symptoms. To carry out my study, I contacted all the children who took part in our first study, including both snorers and sleep apnea sufferers, and a healthy control group of children who didn't snore. I asked them to return to the Melbourne Children's Sleep Centre for an overnight sleep study. Basically, we attach a number of electrodes and recording devices to the patient, which measure their brainwaves, oxygen levels, and breathing patterns while they sleep. I also monitored their blood pressure continuously and non-invasively, using a special device which operates with a small blood pressure cuff on the finger. All these measurements don't hurt, but look a little funny. One of my participants told me he felt like an electrical appliance by the end of it. 62 children took part in my study, of which 29% had received treatment, and I got some pretty interesting results. More than half of the children were still snoring 4 years later, and some had persistent or more severe sleep apnea. Those who kept snoring also had a poorer quality of sleep and still reported to feeling sleepy during the day. But the good news was most of the snorers who had received treatment no longer snored. And overall, all children, even those who weren't treated, had improved breathing at night. In other words, despite some children continuing to snore, they had fewer pauses in breathing and falls in oxygen levels than they did 4 years ago. Most importantly, there was a fall in their blood pressure back to normal levels, even if they continued to snore. So our study shows that even minor improvements in snoring can improve the effects on the cardiovascular system. This is very important, as currently children with milder symptoms are not treated. Parents and GPs need to know that childhood snoring shouldn't be ignored, as it can have significant effects not only on their cardiovascular systems, but also affect their school performance and behaviour. Frequently, parents don't tell their GP their child snores, and GPs often don't think to ask about any sleep problems. I have been able to present our results at several conferences, even one in the UK, and currently my research is being published so that its findings will reach clinicians. My study has important clinical implications, but what we still don't know is if snoring children are more likely to suffer from sleep apnea and cardiovascular disease when they become adults. But maybe by closely monitoring these children, we can prevent the disorder from worsening and consequently prevent serious cardiovascular disease from developing.
Anna Vlahodonis, now finishing her PhD at the Ritchie Centre, Monash University.